Support for this podcast comes from Troy University, dedicated to teaching a new generation to lead change. Information on leadership opportunities available to students from day one is at troy.edu/leadchange.
From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. According to an NPR series from 2012, polio infected some 60,000 children, paralyzed thousands, and killed 3,000 people in 1952. In 1955, the U.S. began vaccinations, and by 1979, the disease had been all but eradicated in the United States. Joining us for part two of her interview for the Storyline book series is Dr. Edith Powell, retired professor of immunology and hematology at Tuskegee University. She is the author of the book, A Black Oasis, Tuskegee Institute's Fight Against Infantile Paralysis, 1941 to 1975. Dr. Edith Powell, welcome back to Troy Public Radio. It's a special week because last Sunday was Polio Day, urging people to remember how important polio vaccinations are.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you. I'm glad to be able to join you and share the story.
In the book, you were talking about FDR and his wife, Eleanor Roosevelt, getting involved in establishing a treatment center for Black children and adults with polio, and they ended up at Tuskegee.
Well, after he realized that the Black children were not being admitted to Warm Springs, which he was kind of not aware of, and they had what they call the Georgia Warm Springs Foundation, which funded the money for the care of patients over there, they decided to incorporate, change the name, and it became the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis in 1938. That way they could turn the money into that, and it would be more transparent what happened to the money. So the president of the Tuskegee Institute at the time invited President Roosevelt to come down and see what was going on. And Basil O'Connor had already been there. He was head of the National Foundation. So he had been on the Board of Trustees, and he knew about it. So, of course, he encouraged him to come see. When he came to Warm Springs one day, he came over for only about an hour or two and rode around the campus in his car. He never got out. And he met with George Washington Carver, and he met with the people, and he saw the hospital and saw the facility. That was in March. And then in May, when they had the graduation exercises, Basil O'Connor came and he announced that they would be given the first grant that was given from the new National Foundation. It was the only grant given for bricks and mortar. And they would build the wing onto the hospital and call it the Tuskegee Infantile Paralysis Center. And that's how they got the money. And it paid for the building and it paid for all of the equipment. They paid for specialized training for the doctors, the nurses, OTs, PTs, all the personnel that needed to be trained to work in that specialized facility. Polio in children can require from 3 to 4 months to 6 months up to 2 years of hospitalization with the rehab that has to be done. So it's a long-term care, and they don't, in rural areas like Tuskegee, the families would have to bring the children and leave them. And these are little children. Creates a big hardship for the family getting back and forth. In those days when they didn't have cars, they had very little money. And they either had to come on a wagon on a horse or get a ride. The buses were not very reliable. Sometimes the children didn't see their parents for weeks.
Were neighboring states having a surge of polio as well?
The Mississippi hospitals, during that time, there was a big surge of polio. I think it was Vicksburg, seemed to be having more than their share of the cases who had the kind that affect the lungs and needed to be put in iron lungs. So they asked Tuskegee if they could ship some over and share, and would Tuskegee be able to help them? And they said, yes, they would try. So they put them on what they call box cars, but it's kind of like cattle cars, and brought them over there on the train. We had a train station at Cheehaw, which is a few miles right outside of Tuskegee hospital area. They had a group of people that met them. They had the ambulances lined up. Whatever vehicles they had could take them from there to the hospital. The machines, they have a specialized generator that creates a positive and negative pressure on a time frame like normal breathing. It makes a big whooshing noise when it goes from one pressure point to the other pressure point. And when the doors were opened, a friend of mine told me later on, he was there and he saw it. he said that when they opened the doors, that all you could hear was a big whoosh. It was going, the modern day machines don't make that kind of noise, but it's not as quite as loud and as grabbing when you're not used to it as the iron lungs were. But that's how we got them.
What happened to those patients?
Well, sometimes they stayed for the rest of their life. Some of them, their lungs could heal. It depended on how bad the virus affected their lungs and how much damage was done and whether it could regenerate or could heal itself. I have known people that did not. A neighbor of ours actually here when I was little, the mother got it and she lived in the iron lung for years. And I know that some other people of the era of me, one lady passed away a few years ago in Montgomery. She'd been in the iron lung for many, many years. So it just depended on how badly they were affected.
And then in 1955, here came the salt vaccine.
Right, thank goodness.
A portion of your book talks about the Montgomery Advertiser writing, April 16th, 1955, quote, "Last night, 1,870 pounds of life-saving salt vaccine touched to earth at Danley Field." I assume everyone looked at this as a victory over polio, is that right?
After the polio vaccine that Salk had generated had been cleared by the FDA, well, that afternoon they started shipping it out. The company that made it had thousands and thousands of vials, and it was already prepackaged, ready to go to places where they could get to the public health department to be distributed to the community. And so they flew it into Danley. I just remember reading about it, how exciting it was for the people. I didn't realize that people knew about it and that they were going to be waiting for it. It was very important.
You said in the book that in 1938, FDR established the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis, and that's where the research actually began for the Salk vaccine.
Right.
Any of that research related by any chance to the COVID research?
From what I do know, what we learned during the research that Salk did and the other people who were doing research at the same time, hoping to do the same thing that Salk was doing, but he just got there first. The things that we learned then and have learned since then with the advent of molecular biology and DNA and gene insertion, we would not have gotten the COVID vaccine as quick as we got if we had not learned all of that. And that was just from 1955. When they licensed the vaccine and went through the whole process of field trials and tried it on children and getting the results and making the final decision and FDA approving it, the whole process. And remember, this was paid for by the March of Dimes. So the National Foundation changed its name later to the March of Dimes. Every bit of all of that was paid for. All the researchers, the equipment in those hospital laboratories, Dr. Salk's group, everything was paid for by the March of Dimes. I think all those lessons learned and what they've learned since then was why we were able to get that COVID vaccine so quickly as we did.
Edith, unfortunately, our time has flown, but I want to thank you for your dedication in telling the story of how Tuskegee Institute affected the research and the treatment of polio.
Well, thank you for letting me tell it, because it's a really important story, I think. And I'm a little bit prejudiced, but I do think people need to know about it so they will remember what work was done that allowed us to be as safe as we are today.
Joining us for part two of her interview for the Storyline book series was Dr. Edith Powell, retired professor of immunology and hematology at Tuskegee University. Her book is A Black Oasis, Tuskegee Institute's Fight Against Infantile Paralysis, 1941 to 1975. On March 11th, Tuskegee University will unveil a monument in recognition of the HeLa Cell Project in memory of Henrietta Lacks, whose cancer cells were the source of the HeLa Cell line that contributed to advancements in science, including polio. The monument also honors the scientists and those involved in the research. Thanks for joining us today for In Focus, which is a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Carolyn Hutchison, and this is listener-supported Troy Public Radio.